Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, and we know that many things are attributed unto Jesus, the only begotten Son, and those things perhaps aren't always right. If we think of the Lord treading upon the earth over the grass, there wouldn't be any grass that was bent. We wouldn't see his footsteps in the dew, but the fact of the matter is his footsteps thundered across Judea, around Galilee, everywhere he went, and even so today, those same footsteps which were your footsteps now here by the Holy Ghost have thundered around the world, and yet people refuse to look, they refuse to believe. They're so enamored and inured with their own understanding, which is so wrong and so vitally wrong, Lord, that they cannot turn to truth. But we realize there's all for a purpose there, that in this last hour of deception, men deceive themselves. It isn't a matter of you deceiving, though you do send strong deception. It's a matter of how people take it, and they have taken it entirely in a wrong way, and yet in a right way, because very few will find the straight and narrow way, and very few will be in the ark of safety. So we praise you, Lord, that we are not amongst those who believe in this last hour softly and tenderly, a mild rapping on the door, a little voice of some description that just may awake a little chord, not so. But Lord, a mighty vindicating God came forth on the scene, vindicating his prophet, vindicating his word. The thunders have thundered, lion has roared. Lo, we know this to be the truth, Father. And the awakening in our hearts has been wonderful. We appreciate it. May we ever feed upon the bread of life. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we are over here, number 24 in leadership. And in our last two dissertations on leadership, studying only five short paragraphs, we found Brother Branham hitting right at the heart of his phenomenal ministry's purpose for coming to the Pentecostal age Christians. It was God attracting the people of the seventh church age because there was a new message from God to come forth in order to bring out the very elect. The tremendous impact of discerning and seeing the gift of healing in operation, even to the extent where everyone in a long prayer line was healed, whether they be deaf, dumb, blind, crippled, dying of cancer, TB, or and every other kind of disease, seeing the mighty works of God was not entertainment, but vindication by God himself, though God himself needs no vindication, personally, that a new message was about to come forth, and thereby no other message, no matter how revered, how powerful, how gratifying, how anything, could now give life but death, because God had spoken. And his ministry, Brother Branham's, was received equally as well as Jesus Christ until he, like Jesus, began to teach the truth. But the people then and now today could not receive words so contrary to their creeds and dogmas in their way of life and worship and so on, like the woman of the well, and their own understanding in particular, what they're taught by people superior and over them, what they drum up themselves. And this in spite of "thus saith the Lord" of Deuteronomy 18, which could not be duplicated and was not something given at that time for replication. It came and it went, as it did in the beginning of the Gentile ages. It will not repeat itself whatsoever. When Jesus declared he and the Father were one, even explaining it in detail, as has been done today, they said he made himself God, which he denied and thoroughly explained why he wasn't God. Now, let's stop there for just a little second. We want to go to Colossians. And we could read 1 and 19 first, for it pleased the Father, that in him should all fullness dwell. And that's an actual summation of the fact that God by Christ Jesus created all things, no matter what they were. And this one by whom God created, that was his Son, he's before all things, and by him all things consist. That is, they're still maintained. He's the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn of the dead. Then in all he might have preeminence, but for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So, it is very apparent here that whatever God did, it was already predetermined and carried out that God would still do it, particularly through that one. Regardless of whether the position was amplified and further glorified, or went into what we might call a diminishing, as it says in Philippians, on a temporary basis. Father and Son in the relationship. Then in Colossians 2 and 9, where it tells you to beware of the philosophies and traditions of men who can't figure things out because they can't apprehend what's from the Spirit. Of course, they're not equipped. And notice, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So, in this body, this person of the body, the fullness of God dwells. Now, what would be the fullness of God? Well, as I understand it, without trying to look into the Greek and everything else, I would understand this to be that whatever God had within him, and God himself programmed through his own sovereignty for release, it would be released through this one. Now, that may sound strange, but it isn't strange, because that's how it's supposed to be. Now, in John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, categorically, Brother Branham said, if you make the word Jesus, you have three gods. Now, he said that because he never ever dwelt, in my understanding, with any type of delineation upon the incorrectness of Trinity and oneness, and then bring in the two-ness. He never ever touched two-ness. Two gods. So he said, if you take the Word and make it Jesus, and of course that's the Son of God, and that's the one who came in his Father's name. So if you attribute to Jesus the man, call that at his birth, circumcised the 8th day, dedicated, prophesied over, etc., etc., you're wrong. The Word is God himself. Now, that's a term that Greek students say that John found much better than the terminology that the Hebrews used. So, we look at the word logos. Now, the word logos itself must be understood to come forth from another word, which is lego, which means to lay forth, that is, relate in words, in systematic discourse. In other words, it's got to be something absolutely cohesive, enlightening. It can't be muddled. It can't leave ifs, ands, or buts. It can't leave you to wander with your own thinking. In other words, this would be, in every sense, a most scientific dissertation. In the sense that as science goes and relates numbers in certain order, so that H2O is always H2O equals water. O3 is ozone. I think you can get O up to a 5 even. I don't know how many can go to. Who knows? Do you know how many can go to? Who knows? You haven't studied. Doesn't matter. We've got scientists here who work with it. And I can tell you right now, if either Rusty or Peter had any doubt that oxygen and hydrogen combines in a 1 and a 2 or different from that, they quit their jobs. In fact, they wouldn't have a job. There wouldn't be a company to go to. So when we speak of Lego being a delineation, it is the ultimate discourse, setting forth, laying forth, to add a word or take a word impugns your judgment because you're stupid. How are you going to do better than God? Oh, no problem. Black hats, black clothes, invent something, refuse this, take that, hallelujah. Now, hold it. I beg your pardon. Even the tabernacle in the wilderness could not have a flaw. And every single person engaged therein was full of the Holy Ghost in whatever measure was needed to give him the scientific skill, even as Bezalel became an artificer in silver and gold and brass. And I'll bet you today nobody could touch him. We talk about what we see in the Parthenon and the over in Greece there, the Acropolis. And we marvel at how beautiful they had it planned out so that you stand here. And they had the pillars askew. Yeah. Because perspective of the eye skews things up. Do you know by looking you can get all skewed up? Like they did under Jesus and under William Branham. And you not see what you think you see. Unless God takes that word and focuses it to your eye. So if you think you can work outside of a divine revelation, you are wrong. Huh? Certainly he's got to review his word. Anyway, no matter how perfect it was made, so the columns were slightly contoured so you could stand back and see in perfection, you know, point of view, vanishing point, all horizon, all that kind of stuff. I'm not an artist, but I know that much. Even I can draw a line, show you where the eye goes. You take a building, you have to work on it. No, we don't here. We run it perfectly mathematically because we live in it. That's perfectly as can. What I'm saying here is this, that no human ability could ever touch Bezalel. Because the same God that made H2O and every atom, every neutron and everything else, whatever it is, to the smallest, to the smallest, to the smallest, until you get the somatites. You can see them with a microscope. I don't care how far you go back. Everything is in perfect divine order and shall remain that way and come back after the perversion. So when we talk about Lego, we're talking then about something in the systematic discourse that is within itself flawless in its presentation because of the presenter. I'm not talking to anybody but God. Let's get that flat. Holy man of God wrote this book as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, period. And it takes the same Holy Ghost in certain men to bring it into complete light. Now, the word logos from John 1 and 1 is something said, including the thought. Something said, including the thought. Okay, here we go. And we go to Ephesians, the first chapter. Blessed be God. Yeah. And the Father. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, that's how people in this message are reading it. Jesus is not God. Jesus denied he was God. Yet people say today, you make Jesus God. I don't make Jesus God. They make Jesus God. They're Jesus only. They don't know what Brother Branham said. I'm just reading to you or quoting you out of John 1 and 1. So Brother Branham effectively killed Jesus. Or did he? He never killed him. He said, you can't make him the Word. Because God is the Word. The God and Father of this one is the Word. Now, it's not that Jesus can't be the Word. Brother Branham categorically said that light that came forth, that was the Logos, that was the Word. Now, let's go it again. Something said, including the thought. Something said, including the thought. So, therefore, what I am thinking must be said in such a way as to make that thought come out. In plain English, you call a knife and a fork. You don't ask somebody when you say knife to think fork. And when you think fork, they think knife. They've got to think knife when you think knife. Got to say fork when you say fork. Or you tell the wife to the husband, you mind helping me and put the forks on the table? He goes and gets a knife. Oh, brother. I guess some men are just that dumb, but I doubt it. So therefore, the Word expresses the thought, as Brother Branham clearly said. But God is not a thought. Huh? So don't just stop there. The Word expresses the thought. Pass on. Don't just stop there. Let's go right to the Greek. And this is what I've been trying to say for a long time. God is not a thought which a thought is impersonal. That is, it is not a person. And you cannot have an impersonal or non-person God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Simply boils down to this truth. The Word is God, and God is the Word, and they are nouns in apposition. Which mean they're one and the same thing. Where A is equal to B because B is A and A is B. Now we must be careful to see that God has or produces thoughts. Those thoughts written first, then verbalized, bring forth creation or whatever else God has in mind, for He is sovereign. His thoughts set forth to intelligent beings, like man, cannot return to Him void, must bring forth in action or production what He thought, wrote, and verbalized. But when we speak of John 1 and 1, where God Himself becomes Word, then even as the Word expresses the thought, so God must be expressed. God must be expressed. God must be expressed. Huh? And whatever form or manifestation comes forth, actions included, must be God presenting Himself. God veiling and unveiling Himself. Quoting the prophet, right? God veiled in simplicity, revealing Himself in the same, and I found there right in the Bible. William Branham didn't know Greek. This is how God went forth into a revelation of Himself from the Son of God, forming as a light, and then finally into flesh. So here's the secret of why we believe as we believe, at least I believe as I believe, based upon Brother Branham sending forth the infallible signal. We are now oneness. So don't call me oneness. Now, of course, that's the doctrine. He was oneness as far as the Godhead was concerned. He believed in one God. He did not believe in three gods. He did not believe in two gods. But he saw the Son of God in a vision. And that's Elohim. And a pillar of fire. And they were different. Huh? All right. Colossians 2:9. Let's take a look at it. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Him. God looked down and said, this is My beloved Son in whom I'm pleased. And Brother Branham brought them both together. In whom I am pleased to dwell in. In fact, I'm very well pleased to dwell in Him. So there you find Him, that virgin-born one, who predated everything but God Himself, who when He was brought forth of the very substance and essentiality of God, bringing the first one into existence, the great Son of God, God by Him created all things, and Brother Branham told how it was done. And you bring the same thing down when He was in flesh, how He healed the sick and raised the dead and did miracle after miracle. And Jesus said, God did it through me. Now listen carefully. Bodily then is a form. And so the fullness of God in a body form. So therefore every single thing that God was to Himself, as Almighty God, Jehovah Elohim, and never forget, the book of Isaiah is written very carefully. Jehovah Elohim. Sometimes it uses Adonai. We've never gone in it. We might sometime. Not enough versed on it. Haven't found the need. But you will find He is Jehovah Elohim. He is Jehovah Elohim. Now Jehovah Elohim, whatever He is, and whatever He wants to do, coming forth in a manifestation and His expression, and expressing Himself personally because He's a part of it, He does it through this one. And He did it back there in the beginning. Even when this Son of God, this light mass, spirit substance, what I'm trying to tell you, it's real. One. As Brother Branham said, now there's two. And Brother Branham said, believe every word and put it together. It's a bunch of people that Gordy knows Well, that's just one coat. So Brother Branham's just fooled with one coat, did he? So you throw it out? You better look and find out what Brother Branham's talking about. Now, watch carefully. Is not God creator? You agree? That pillar of fire creator? How did he do it? Huh? Through the Son. Fine. Is God not redeemer? How did he do it? Is he not shepherd? What did Jesus say? I'm the great shepherd. Now here's where we're getting the doctrine of the oneness of the Godhead. I've watched this for years and years. But the simplicity only struck after I realized I had said one thing in the pulpit that could lead you astray. Maybe it was a private conversation. Talking about the shepherd. I was in a sermon, and it sounded as though I was negating Jesus. The point is, you do not negate Jesus. You better watch out. You're not negating God, because the minute you negate Jesus, you negate God. You negate God, you negate Jesus. And I'm talking in terms of Father and Son. And I'm talking in terms, though God is the Father of Jesus. Now watch. With all the glory that was there in the beginning, there was something that Jesus himself could not have unless and until he became a man. As he was way back there and took over Michael alongside of Satan and led him to worship, I don't understand it, I just believe it. The same as Brother Branham said, God came down, took a handle, blew in it, stepped into it, and when he got finished, he walked out, dust was dust again. Yet the same one could eat meat and everything else. Amen. See, you just don't let your thinking go, how could it be? How could he? Oh, for heaven's sake, shut up. It's the same old crap. I got to have evolution somewhere because he doesn't satisfy me. I got news here. If you don't believe the word of God, you don't know what dissatisfaction is till you hit the lake of fire. For as Brother Branham said, I would sooner have the oath of the Knights of Columbus perpetrated on me if it's true. And I believe it's true, because under the Inquisition, the Catholics would do anything, the Protestants, or anybody else that didn't agree, than be 5 minutes in the Great Tribulation. Even people who believe in the Lamb will curse God and gnaw their tongues in pain and say, save us from the wrath of the Lamb. This believing is a very serious thing, but it's the when you got vindication, my brother, my sister. So we see that the fullness of God is in this one. In other words, God expressing himself. And if Brother Branham was incorrect in John 1:1, and how could he be when Jesus himself said, I am not God? The rich young man said, good master, he said, don't call me good unless you think I'm God, and I'm not God. There's only one good, that's God. And he never went his full extent, as I was beginning to say, until he took upon him robe of flesh and suffered. He himself could not have had that glorified body without suffering. He would have been a body of glory, but that's not it. What was the ultimate? Head of the church, head of the bride. Millennium, down the ages. All the ages to come. So, all right. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and I am not the Father. Because what you are seeing is the body that the Father chose, and the works the body cannot do except the chooser of this body. And God indwells me, and I indwell him. Every prophet from Moses, and perhaps predating Moses, had the same. Now here is why, again, we have only one God. But we have the Son. And those who have him in a coma, or prone on the mercy seat, or gone back to the dust. Those who have him any other way than animate, sitting on the Father's throne, discoursing even now with God the Father, don't even breathe the Scripture. They are willfully ignorant, having gone back to the false teachers of Trinity and Jesus only. I had a man write me a letter not long ago how I should get a certain oneness book, Jesus Only, and he'd find that Brother Branham was identical. After Brother Branham said he wasn't. I don't care. Brother Branham disagreed in only one word. He's different. He explained thoroughly he was not God but the Son of God. When they declared they had to eat his flesh and drink his blood, they deserted him like rats in a sinking ship because they could not accept the analogy as the omega of the alpha manna and the smitten rock. They couldn't take it. God did that. And you know what? It was an act of redemption of the flesh in a temporary manner. But the day would come when eternal life would come eating the flesh of the Son of God, which we showed you in the Greek was sarx, which means an animal with the entire skin removed, making a carcass, and God was behind the skin. You take off the skin, word. God in human flesh expressing himself, the complete unveiling of the mind of God and the direction it takes and in what manner it takes and under what conditions. And there he stood right there and said, eat my flesh. They couldn't understand. Jesus said the same thing. Man to Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And let me tell you something, brother, sister, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God concerning redemption, everything else was fulfilled in Jesus right there. And it was God in him doing it. He was that vessel. Look at the glorification Jesus has now and will get, which he couldn't have had before. What a glorification you and I have at simply walking into it by the grace of God, which we could not have had we not bypassed that word body. God never has anybody in debt that is indebted to them. He said, what will you give me? He said, I made it all. What sacrifice you for me? He said, it's all mine. He said, just do what you're required to do. And that's the whole principle. He also said, drink my blood. Now, let's face it, or you got no life in you. Those actually come to the same thing, except we're talking now about the Holy Spirit coming upon that word, you and I more and more filled, until the last church age completely filled, and no one is left but the Holy Spirit, the baptizer himself. Justification gives way to sanctification. Sanctification gives way to the baptism. The baptism gives way to the Holy Ghost himself, right? That's Ephesians. If you don't believe Brother Branham, you'll find it right in the book of Ephesians. At the first chapter, verses 13-14. We also saw the fact of eating is the exact word used in the Garden of Eden, where they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was sexual intercourse. We saw the same thing as in Songs of Solomon, the second chapter, which is absolutely a sex act. It's described perfectly. People call it the pornographic, dirty book of the Bible. That's a lie. It's Christ and the Bride. And Brother Branham categorically said, what did he say? Let me read it again. He said, that's how adultery is committed spiritually, when you, knowing better by the Word of God, by the intercourse of the mind, 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, right? Absolutely. Taking a lie of the devil against the word of God. That's exactly what Eve did. With the spiritual intercourse first that came by believing Satan's lie into the womb of her mind. That polluted her soul, set death in the soul. Then the natural act took place, and that's the only way a woman could commit adultery against her husband is to first talk to some man, man talking it, then receiving it, a man that's not her husband, then she commits adultery. And when the bride of Jesus Christ lets man-made creeds and dogmas take the place of the word, she's committing adultery. Same script, same thing. Notice, he can put her away, but she cannot put him away. Lopping off the branches. He did it and proved it in the days of Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. See, they don't believe that. When they refused to become the further part of him by having spiritual sexual affair, to become pregnated with the further part of the word. You understand? She refused. The Lutheran church refused for Christ to have any more desire with her. Luther refused. And let me say this, going to call me something anyhow. So it is today with every one of them. They failed to take that word. They refused Christ. And any woman that refuses a man his child has no right to be his wife. In other words, the church deliberately did not want Christ to come back here, though they said they did, proving 100% Brother Branham's statement correct. Eve should have gone to the tree of life for spiritual intercourse, and she should have brought forth that seed. She went and let the serpent take over. You tell me the word of that prophet's not on the word 100%. They haven't got a clue. The only people who know anything about this truth and any message at all is we who follow the message. Now, we're going to read on page 28 and 29, paragraphs 192 and 197. Go on, because this sermon all the way refutes the full gospel businessmen. They're self-proclaimed and self-ordained, right, to be leaders of life when they are already dead, even in the second death. Now, sounds tough, doesn't it? Well, 8 people made it. 2 more would have swamped it. Well, I think, Brother Bale, if some more would have tried to come on real sincere, God would have kicked out some animals. Ha! You mean God would kick out one of his lovely animals for serpency? You got to be kidding. You don't belong in the same pew I belong. You may claim you're in the same church. All right, look, when he first come on earth and started his ministry, 193, oh, young rabbi, we want you here, come down here. One day he said, I and my father, one that did it. Except eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you know life. And oh, he's a vampire, he wants us all cannibals, forget it. Those apostles sat there, 198. Now, those apostles sat right there, thousands left in. But those apostles were ordained to life. Now, listen, let's get this plan. There were 17 people ordained alongside of the 12. To go out and do miracles. And they did it. Find me anything about those 70 having been given power by God to cast out devils, heal the sick and raise the dead, give sight to the blind, speech to the dumb, hearing to the deaf. Tell me, they went. And so have the Pentecostals turned right away from the personal presence of eternal life himself. He said so. What? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. They couldn't explain it. They believed it. They stayed right with it because they said, no man can do these works. Now, Brother Branham is gigging them. I hear some teachers got a cattle prod. I don't blame them. To give some kids in school a jolt in the right direction. I don't think it does any good. Temporarily, they think about it. Then they're right back to mischief. Brother Branham used a cattle prod on these guys here. They didn't even know they were stung, though. When you have a conscience seared with a hot iron, or as Brother Branham said, no more conscience than a snake got hips, there's nothing too much anybody can do to wake you. Even the priest knew that. Nicodemus said, we know. And he's from the Sanhedrin. No man can do these works except God be with him. And you know he's quoted by Luke in the book of Acts. Jesus of Nazareth, and a man anointed of God with the Holy Spirit, went about doing good because God was with him. Nicodemus knew that the anointing that this man had to have was the anointer himself. But it didn't reach him at that time. Luke got the drift right away. And he's a Gentile, by the way. Peter, in the day of Pentecost, said, Jesus of Nazareth, a man of God approved among you. God was with him. So Jesus wasn't God. But when he had God with him in a particular sense, in a particular way for a particular thing, you were looking at God. Because that was the expression. Yeah. And what God did through the prophets bodily was only a small part when he did it all through Jesus. And he's still doing it. Huh? You think he's not mediating to bring in souls? You think he's not interceding? That's God's job. He said, all day long I stretch forth my hands. Nobody believes. Nobody comes. Huh? Here's the mediator, Jesus, stretching forth his hands, but only the right one comes. My sheep hear my voice and they come. God said, they're not of my fold. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thy throne. Jesus never said one original word. Every single word is from God, already written down, waiting to be verbalized. When the proper time of manifestation came, the whole delineation was there. God revealed. Just take away the skin. That's all. Take away the prophet's skin. God veiled behind badger skins. Not anymore. Not anymore. Look in the scriptures. What the scriptures said to do. Jesus said, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. You think you have eternal life. You think you know the word of God. You think. Not only know it, but you do it. You think you're one with the word. Search them. Go ahead and really look into it. Attach a microscope to each eyeball. Let the light of God hit it. You think you have eternal life. They are what testifies of me. If you'd known Moses, you'd have known me, for Moses wrote that I would come in the form that I would come, prophet. Oh, yeah. Listen to me. Israel as a church cut his throat until God scattered them. And there's hardly any Jews ever coming in. And at the end, there's only 144,000 when they get grafted in. So what's he going to do at the end time? He made a little promise to his little bride. The bruised reed I won't crush and break. The smoking flax I will not quench. But he said, I'm going to come in judgment and bring you forth into victory. Little bride, and the rest, well, they're fatted as calves for the slaughter. The great tribulation, the second death. He comes in three names as God. Three, like Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Same God, his three attributes. Now then, also, justification, sanctification, Luther, Wesley, Pentecostal, same thing. Three attributes, three stages, three church ages. Why is he coming in three stages? Because at the end of the fourth age, they cease to drift. For judgment from age one to age four is sealed in. It's all over for them. Now it's time to rise from the dead. So God begins to bring life back to the root of the tree, which has been thoroughly cut down under Luther, Wesley, the Pentecostals. Same thing, water, blood, spirit, always as you go along, the three elements that take you back into the body of Christ. The one that brought it down, water, blood, spirit. The same thing takes it back. Water, blood, spirit. Takes it back. No difference. Like it brings you from natural birth, takes your spiritual birth, the baby's born, first thing water, next blood, then light. That's the way you come into the kingdom of God. That's the way you come into the kingdom of God, because you already had a gene of God, a part of God, which is your soul. And you could have been stillborn. And you'd have made it. You could have died after 3 months, no problem. The light Brother Brown is talking about is the giving of a genuine life to the muscles and nerves and the connection to the brain, the whole thing. And you need that spirit which is allowed of God but is not of God, or you'd be baptized with the Holy Ghost the minute you're born. That's why John the Baptist was not baptized with the Holy Ghost the minute he was born. He's baptized with the Holy Ghost before he was born. See? Why? Because he was a very special person. That's the way to come into the kingdom of God, the same way. See, that's the way the church comes in, the same thing, same thing. Now notice, on these three things, God, how God is forming his body. Now we find it in here that you have a right in your choice. Now you go back to the choice. You will have eternal life or not have it. Now you can marry or not have a woman. You choose the girl you want to marry. She accepts you all right. Now, right today, you can choose Hagar or you can choose Sarah. It doesn't matter as far as you do. I never did like the world church. I would sit in church as a kid under a preacher that was a louse-bound heathen, never was one. Denied the virgin birth and everything else. He wanted us to believe in God. And my greatest entry in pulling the blowflies off the window and pulling their wings off, or picking up a pin and jamming them on a pin and making a little barbell. That was a dirty thing to do. A little dumbbell, they watch them hand it back and forth in their feet. When they came down to join the church, we were supposed to take communion. I was scared to death to take communion. I didn't know. Just scared to death. What he said, son, he said, you ever anything in my sermons, he said, to make you want to, you know, interest you and to pick you up and turn you toward God? Well, I said, I really don't know. He said, I know. In the springtime, I felt a little better. And that was a complete turnoff. The guy ahead of him, I was too young to know. I knew he's a man of God. It was like a magnet. I sat right in the very front best, and my eyes riveted on that man. Didn't know he saved me. I knew he had something from God. Seemed like a new brother man. That's the man you listen to. So later on then, I got saved. I took communion. Yeah, it was all right. Then I heard the message, I took foot washing. I couldn't figure why foot washing was any good because we weren't over there in the east in hot weather running our feet through manure, but it's a type. So already says here, you choose the girl you want to marry. Do you want Mount Sinai? Do you want Mount Zion? Now Mount Sinai goes to anything that's man-made or given to man, but which in itself cannot bring forth light. See, you could stand by one and say, woman, have a baby. Woman, have a baby. Woman, have a baby. I declare you pregnant. I declare. We wrote a law into existence. Mao Zedong wrote it. Who cares about him? Ramses wrote it. Napoleon wrote it. The Queen wrote it. Woman, you get pregnant now because I say so. Oh, for life begets life. And there's only one word that's a conduit of life, and that's God's word. Or even Adam wouldn't have had it. And said, therefore he became a propagator.
So the church has this man-made creeds and laws and everything. And it says, now, be pregnant. Bring forth that son. Bring forth that son. Bring forth that son. We're going to do it. They're going to do nothing but go to hell. Now, the point is this. In this special hour of grace, the full gospel businessmen, everybody, had the chance, the choice, the option to pick a bride. Well, how in the world are you going to pick a bride when you already figured that you're a bride? You're the real McCoy. See? Well, you choose the girl you want to marry, she accepts you, all right. In other words, there's a choice within us which will indicate which we're going, to organization or the living word of God. And I've heard people call this message everything, and boy, do they call my preaching everything. I don't think Brother Branham needs to, you know, to what they say, shaking his grave, but what they're saying about him, half as much as if I was dead, it'd be fine if I were, but I'd have, maybe I even have more right to shake in mine. But everything that they're calling me, they'd have to call him because I only preach what he says here. I don't preach anything else. All right, another thing. You have a choice of whether you want to live or whether you don't want to live. She's right back to choice number one again. You choose between life and death. You can live. That boy had that choice. He was successful in everything else, a religious man. But he knew that when that, he spoke of himself, I've observed all these commandments since I was a youth, and he knew he didn't have eternal life, see, or why would he say, what couldn't I do to get it? And he had a choice to accept it or refuse it, and he turned it down. That was the most fatal mistake he could have ever made. The rest of it wouldn't have really mattered, amounted to anything. And it doesn't amount to anything unless you take that choice. So Brother Branham is talking again about the presence of God, what that presence means. Now let us follow him at his choosing and see where it led him. Now, see where he chose. Look, he was a rich man, businessman, a ruler, a religious man, all that. So was the FBMG, full gospel businessman. Today we'd say, boy, he's a genuine Methodist, Baptist, or Pentecostal. He's a real fellow, real nice boy, fine. Nothing you could say about him. Friendly, nice, social, everything. Nothing immoral about him. He didn't probably smoke, drink, or run around to shows and dances, whatever we'd call it today, as we would class a Christian. But that isn't eternal life yet. See, that's just really a sanctifying process you can go through. That isn't what we're talking about. He might have been loyal to his church, in which he probably was. But you see, and what did it lead to? Great popularity. Let's say if he was a preacher, and he could have been, he got a better church. He could have been the state presbyter or a bishop. See, it leads you to popularity, and it led him to riches and to fame. It might do the same thing today. And boy, the full gospel businessmen, they're all over the whole world. Now, they're still derided by a lot of people, but they've gotten so big and so popular, so famous, so worldwide, prestige, everything else, you simply can't afford to bypass them because it wouldn't be good business. After all, if you've got somebody that bucked De Beers and their diamonds for years and years and finally came up with a good grade of diamonds like they did at a better price and even better diamonds, De Beers wouldn't last. They'd have to form some kind of a union. And they always do. That's why the Pentecostals are back in the World Council and the majority don't even know it. They tried to make Dr. Bell apologize, that Billy Graham's father-in-law, years and years ago. And he said, no way. I was there. They're part of it. Might do the same thing today if you have a great talent to sing. I thought of that young man a while ago that sang that song here, how he got to the devil, but now he's got it back. And how different between him and Elvis Presley and some of those, Pat Boone and a group like that, Ernie Ford and those guys, great singers, and take their talents, their God-given talents, and use it to inspire the works of the devil. Sure, because they just don't stop at hymns. And even if they did, Why, don't you know that the devil sung praise unto God and worshiped God? Huh? Sure. That's right. Some great singers selling their God-given talents for fame in this world to become a somebody. How could you become any more of a body or a somebody than you could be a somebody, which is the Son of God? You couldn't possibly. Now, these people are like that. The full gospel, isn't it? I don't care if you own the whole city, the whole world, and you haven't accepted the leadership of eternal life by the Holy Spirit, Christ. And boy, do they talk about Christ. How are you going to? Who are you anyway? You're a dead mortal, dead in sins and trespasses, religious as you want to be, as faithful as you want to be to the church, preacher, you're preacher. If you want to be in the pulpit, but to turn it down, you die. Now, that's now. That's now, just like the Alpha. When Israel got scattered, the religion's gone, the worship is gone, a few elected come in under the altar. That's just because there has to be the seed coming all the way down. Now, the point is, does the Holy Spirit ever stop leading? My answer is no, but you got to know it's the Holy Spirit. So we see here today, they turned down Messiah, not knowing they did, and believing they didn't. They turned down the Rescuer, the Redeemer. And remember, all that is done by leading. See? Now this young fellow is a great success, like the businessman. He was a great success here in this life, certainly. We follow him a little bit, and we see he got to be greatly successful. And we follow him through the Bible. We find him a rich man. He's got such great places. He was entertaining the judge, mayor of the city, what more? He's up on top of his roof, great banquets, plenty of waitresses, women, girls, everything else around him. I think he's talking about the full gospel businessmen banquets. I was there at a couple of them. Boy, do they put on the dog. And there's a beggar lying at the gate named Lazarus. He sweeps the crumbs off him. We know the story. The next thing, he goes on successful, just like the churches are today. In other words, it's a smug, self-righteous, self-serving, despicable, hypocritical setup. I think I could put a few more words in, but it just ran out. But God didn't. They're deceived and deceiving. They're liars. The truth is not in them. They like the original ones, of whom Jesus said, if I had not done the works that no other man did, period. Now dash. They had no sin. They do now. For they've seen the works and they hate both me and my Father. Well, bless God, we read Mark 16. I don't care if you do. When they fussed at Jesus because of his stand, he said, just a minute. What good work you condemn me for? They said nothing. He said, now hold it, let's go further. If I by the finger of God cast out devils, by whom are your children casting out devils? They must have been casting out devils and praying for the sick and seeing God move. Now, Jesus wasn't fantasizing. They never came back and said, hold it, tell us which of our people are casting out devils like you. Huh? Then later on, there were a bunch of people going around casting out devils, even talking about Jesus again. I'm pretty sure they were. disciples came back and they said, Lord, I think we better call down fire from heaven because these guys are casting out devils like we're doing. And Jesus said, you know what spirit you're of, hold it. And so the full gospel of business men didn't know what spirit they were of, just anointed. Like these people were. True baptism, brother, sister, goes way beyond that. A businessman sitting here telling me right here in California that the church has to tell the labor union what to do. So Brother Branham warned the labor unions it's okay to stay with them until the church takes over. See, it's coming church and state again. It's right on you. You see, you're right in there. And you take the mark of the beast not knowing it. Now that concord the Pope made with Israel. You know, if you look at Israel, that's a funny, funny nation. They scream democracy. They believe in socialism. They talk about liberty and freedom, but they're as bad as the Muslims. Come over there, we'll kill you if you try to preach something else than we preach. Yeah? What a mess today. If you ever, now listen carefully, this is something here that I wish we could have. If you ever bought one of my tapes, get this when I get it, when I get home, The Trail of the Serpent. That was a beast in the Eden, and beast at the end time, The Trail of the Serpent all through the Bible. And you'll see where it's at. See where this ends up at. I wonder who got that tape. Well, there's a great day coming called the White Throne. Huh? Oh, yeah. You can pull a lot of things off today. You can make yourself high and mighty. But even when the devil gets cast down to hell, they say, don't tell me that insignificant. He caused all this trouble. He ain't nothing. And he gets annihilated. But the devil's a pretty big shot until that time, ain't he? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Going home now to preach it, if the Lord willing. It's about 4 hours, so I couldn't keep it at one of these meetings like this. I have to go there where the church suffers with me so long and patiently. Boy, I'd be willing to sit 6 hours on that. You can listen to the tape sometime in your home. Actually, I think that every single thing he said on that tape is in all these tapes, but he just didn't. We'll put it all together. Now, notice this. Now we find out he became a great success. Great success. Then we find him later until he was a greater success. Until he said, I've got so much. Man, I don't need William Branham. Ha! Notice the sarcasm. I've got so much. Boy, he'd have made a great, genuine guy of this day. Wouldn't he? Even my barns have swelled out, they're bursting. I've got so much till I said, why don't you come and see how God made me rich and you can get rich too. Then they send you letters. We want your money. Ha! I didn't send them a plug nickel. In the days when they had Sambos, I should have sent a wooden nickel for a cup of coffee. Huh? I never found it in my interest to water a thistle or a pigweed that's going to mess up my garden. Prophet William Branham said, have nothing to do with that stuff. Dear little friend of mine died of cancer rather than go, even if the guy would have guaranteed her healing. Brother Branham said, stay away from that stuff. Discerning, and yet they're running for discernment. Discernment, discernment, discernment. Well, always said, I've got so much. Oh, soul, take your rest. Like one fellow said, this guy sure wasn't too smart. He mistook his soul for his body. So I've worked hard. Now it's time to retire. You know, a lot of people die as soon as they retire because they find that working is good for them. Of course, those who are smart, they get hobbies. They take up other things with their hands, utilize their lives, and go on to something else. They don't get heart attacks and diabetes and things. They go on living. See, we're supposed to work here, and we're supposed to work there. As I said, Brother Branham said, we're going to build houses. We're going to work in heaven. If you don't like working, you better not plan on going to heaven. You know, the wife is a helpmeet. The helpmeet means one of the same species. So what the husband is like, she's like exactly, except for her femininity and her place in that particular species. Now, I realize that some male birds, they build the nest by themselves, but I'm not sure that I know which they are. I think the wren usually builds a nest, then he starts singing that the female will join him, and she doesn't like it, he's got to build another one. But usually I think most birds work together. I think husband and wife make a good team. They really work together, they can produce an awful lot. In their lives, as spiritual people, physically sound people, moral leaders with a good sense of business. But what he did at the beginning, he rejected the leadership of Christ. Now that determines everything. How hard you work, what you do, what you mass, what you don't, nothing really matters unless you got the foundation that no man can lay except God himself, Jesus Christ. In other words, you have that word. Right there. His church, his intelligence, his education, all had led him to a success. And the Jews loved him. He gave to them. He helped them. He might have done this or that or the other. But you see, he rejected the leadership of Jesus Christ, the eternal life. And the Bible said, thou fool, tonight your soul is required. Just like Belshazzar. Kingdom was gone. Everything shot. He paid no never mind. So in this hour, it's all over. Malachi 4. Whizzing through 6,000 years like a split second. That's all it is. And eternity, so it didn't exist. No, doesn't mean a thing. And now we find him next place in hell, lifting up his eyes and seeing that beggar that he turned out in the street, now in the bosom of Abraham. What a fatal mistake. How the churches had been all right in the way that they went, but they still didn't have eternal life. Now, Brother Branham's coming to the true meaning here. The personal confrontation of God in human flesh by the ruler is Alpha, is the Omega of the full gospel and businessmen and everybody with them. Because now they are the leaders and recognized as such. Yeah, they are. What's Rome doing leading? Oh, God. They're in the same stinking rut they've been in for hundreds and hundreds of years. Going nowhere. Lutheran, Baptist, Pentecostal. They're the last. They're the leaders. They're the ones that taught the fullness of the Holy Ghost and baptism, gifts, and everything else. So it's everywhere. Pope's endorsed it. These guys are the leaders. And Brother Branham said, duplicity and this bunch took him right back to Rome. So when the cream of the crop, so-called, takes the wine and the dregs, so-called, back to Rome. And dregs is at the bottom. That's the stuff you got to get rid of. That's what they are right now. It's all Mother Harlot and her daughters. Again, we see Daniel at Belshazzar's feast. Mighty, great, full gospel businessmen representing all the end time. And Brother Branham said, the kingdom is rent from you. the great tribulation and the lake of fire, because that's exactly what it says in Revelation, now face you. And they looked around. How to split the kingdom up. Huh? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ah, yes, these end times. They have their seat now with all the rest. So we'll all get together and divide the pot. And what is the pot? Creeds and dogmas and everything else. And Brother Branham said, if you talk about those, that they're your food, you will not get ready. The way to get ready is not talk about it. Except when I preach here and warn you, that's a different thing. I'm not telling you to think about it. Well, I'm warning you day by day and telling you, listen, that stuff is dead. Talk this word. The Lord will listen. You know, what does the Lord even give two bits about our prayers? Come on. I'm going to twist God's arm. You watch. Now, come on, Lord, put your arm down. We're going to wrestle, arm wrestle. Well, he said, that's the way you want to play, I'll give it to you. But you're still going to hell. Brother Brown has said the truth. You don't have to ask God all the time for things. You just live the life, believe the word. They'll fall into your lap. Where there's something said to do, just do it. Even a cup of cold water gets a reward on this side and that side. But the other side is where it really counts. When did we ever give a cup of water to somebody? When did I do something for somebody? Yeah. That reminds me of a sermon I preached here not long ago, Thinking Man's Filter. You might have had it. I was going walking through the woods squirrel hunting this fall to look down. Of course, I can't call the cigarette company. That is its name, but I would do it. It wouldn't bother me any. You know it anyway. And there laid a cigarette pack lying there, and I just passed by it in the woods, and I'd seen that package lying there, and I looked back again, and it said, a thinking man's filter, smoking man's taste. I just started walking through the woods, and the Holy Spirit said, turn and pick that up. And I reached down and picked up a thinking man's filter, smoking man's taste, and I thought, American firm here selling death under disguisement? Hypocrites, see? To their own American citizens, a thinking man's filter, a smoking man's taste? I was at the World Fair where you and Brenner was there, those people up there, when he was giving that test and how he put one cigarette, he smoked it and then he threw it across the marbles. And the tar went down it, of course. That's what he's saying. He wiped up the nicotine, put it on the rat's back, a white rat. In 7 days, he was so full of cancer he couldn't walk. And they said, you know, they say filter. It's just a gimmick. It only sells more cigarettes. Why? Because you crave for the next one right away. He says, here, take so much nicotine to satisfy that devil. You know, Brother Branham hated women smoking more than women drinking. And you know why? A woman smoking, that's great. Oh, God, I hate it. But a woman drunk, you want to do something. You read the Reader's Digest the other day? I think it was Reader's Digest, or maybe it was News. Where several women said, I wish I'd never smoked. I think it was Reader's Digest. Who knows what it is? Dave? Reader's Digest. How about five women? Four women? Four or five women. Who hasn't read it? Well, come on, you guys. You make copies and give them around. and you'll be glad you never smoked. They're dying of cancer and everything else. You know, I figure our daughter might die of cancer. I hope she doesn't. But she's got this, I said, girl, I'll tell you something. If you were smoking and you were a spy or something, they'd throw you in jail and you wouldn't have a cigarette. I don't think Carolyn smoked her last day, did she? No, she didn't. She couldn't do it. But her mother saw she had one. Put it in her mouth. Women with cigarettes? Did Brother Branham see more than he talked? Huh? I tell you one thing. He didn't tell us everything because he said one place, I don't want to make you nervous. All right. So much nicotine to satisfy that devil, that's right. When you take a filtered cigarette, it takes about four cigarettes to take that one's place. It's a gimmick to sell you more cigarettes. You cannot have smoke unless you've got tar, and tar you've got cancer. See how it is? And the blind American's looking for a rabbit to come out of a hat somewhere. Fall for it. You can't have it. It's death. I don't care which way you go. It's death any way you go. A thinking man's filter. A thinking man wouldn't smoke at all. That's right. If he's got any thoughts at all, In other words, he doesn't even think. You know what it is? He wants, and she wants to smart off like the vet. Moody Magazine in 1929 said, men are smoking, but we just saw an ad in the paper, a woman standing there, and she was standing near a pack of cigarettes. They said, mark our words, the next few advertisements going by, she'll have it in her hand. Moody knew it. Moody Church.
Yeah. Well, I thought that just can compare that to the church, you see. I think, has God got a filter?
Yes. And every church has got a filter. That's right.
The filter, they filter ones that comes in, and they let a lot of death in too. In other words, you got to join their church by their filter, which is subscribing to them as they see it, as they're sure God sees it, because how could they be wrong?
How could you ever draw a denomination through God's filter?
That's the word. Enlivened by the Spirit.
How could you do it? How could you draw a bobbed-haired woman through that filter? Tell me.
How could you ever draw a woman that wears slacks through there when it's an abomination for her to put on a garment pertains to man?
See what she's done? She's denied her sexuality completely. From now on, I'm a man. Rosie the Riveter. Now she's out there pumping iron. She looks like a skinned cat. Ooh, God, I hate that. I wouldn't let her come near me.
I'd just as soon sit down with a whore with AIDS. I'm burnt up about that stuff. I tell you the truth. Pertains to man. Now, she acts like a man. Swears like a man. Drinks like a man. Smokes like a man.
Out there being soldiers and policemen and everything else. Firemen.
And the recent survey on sexuality tries to tell America that everything is normal. The heteros are just what they always were. Bunch of stinking rotten liars. Like they say, figures don't lie, but liars can figure. Who did they go to under what condition? My prophet's word said they're growing 30% a year in California. That's 25, 29 years ago, 30 years ago. But oh, these statisticians are going to tell us different. Forget the statistics. Tell me how you could draw a woman through the word of that. See, God's filter would catch her out there. It wouldn't let her come in, but the church has got their own filter. So I say that there's a thinking man's filter. That's God's word, and it suits a holy man's taste. That's right, a holy man, not a church man, but a holy man's taste, because it's pure holiness, unadulterated word of God. There's a thinking man's filter, and the church member, I advise you to use that one, because it brings in the world, and one lump of it is death. One lump leavens. One little leaven leavens the whole lump. Whosoever shall take one word of the others or add one word has taken his part to it. His part will be taken from the book of life. At the Garden of Eden, what caused death? And all this sorrow, every heartache, every dying little dying baby, every rattle in the throat, every ambulance screaming, every hospital, every graveyard, was because Eve doubted one word. Not all of it now. It just perverted it. Now that's what you want to watch. The adding or subtracting. A double negative makes positively a positive. It's not you taking a word and adding. It's, oh, I got to be so careful. But you must be careful. Even illustrating, you got to be careful. You don't change it. You don't change it. No matter every word you see, it doesn't matter. History, anything else, that word of God gets fulfilled. Maybe 100% unknown to anybody but God himself. And yet, he'll look down history and say, it was already done there. You missed it. How much in the book of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, other books, we're trying to look down the future, already went by. Well, why didn't Brother Branham go back and say it all then? Because his message was life for this hour. The life had gone out of it.
brother, sister, let's face it, fertilizer does not give life to the plant. It only helps the plant to live. And Brother Branham said, the word that's gone by is dead. It's like fertilizer. I don't mean to use it in a bad sense now. But what do? It adds to our life by seeing what's gone by, and the life has gone out of it, and we see we're coming up. It helps us. It's like fertilizer to a plant. Don't throw away the word of God. It's all there. Just leave it. She perverted. God said man was to keep every word of God. Now that's the first of the Bible. You see? What do you got today when she perverted that into sexuality? Today she's lost her sexuality. And it's not over yet. More and more it's going to be this way. It's getting worse. Why? Because it's got to be a literally complete Sodom condition. Where the Sodomites are running the mayors and everything else in the air because they got political clout. If you've got 300 people that will vote for one man and 6,000 that won't, your 300 will put the man in. And since the right to life are foolishly killing people, they'll soon be out of existence. And if they have the right to kill to protect life, like some of them are doing, I believe they're insane myself. Their right to life has no place on the streets or any place else. But they're a good outfit if they just kept their noses clean and stayed with the word instead of their own folly and try to do something different. All right, that's the end for today. Covered a little more ground than usual. But that's to be expected. So, all right, will we see you again? If we're in any kind of fettle, fine or halfway fine. Because every day it seems like it's harder to get out of bed and quicker to want to jump back in. With that condition, one day I may decide to just see what happens. Yeah. All right, let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time you've given us today to be together to see what lies in this message here, great and wondrous things, Lord, which the prophet taught us, pinpointing everything right to down this very hour, showing us the truth of it. So, Lord, we thank you for it, and we pray now as we go here, the women will be absolutely feminine, the men will be absolutely masculine, but only in the Lord, acting as daughters and sons of Almighty God, even in every relationship, Lord, which is as it should be. And that way, Lord, it's a little bit of the millennium to go to the millennium in, which you never denied us. We've denied ourselves. So we pray, Lord, you, by your grace and mercy, the family life will be a beautiful life and the church life will be a beautiful life. Looking now and getting ready, practicing already, going into that further beautiful life where the worship and fellowship is so much more wonderful and everything is such dynamism because the little period of grace here is getting us all ready for it and we're nicely fitted. And all this word in here just bubbling and glowing and changing and growing certainly will make a most marvelous time in the land and the days which are ahead of us. And may we now just put all our trust and faith in there, Lord, and nothing else, that we have seen you, Lord, full Logos, come forth in manifestation. We know God who is our Father. We know the truth of Scripture. It said the head of the woman is man, and the head of man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. Lord, we recognize that all the way through by your word, and by your grace, Lord, we'll be a part of it. Hallelujah. Now bless each one, Father, and may the sick amongst us be healed, and may the needs be met, Lord, whatever they are. And Father, continue to give us wisdom and grace and understanding and strength, Lord, whatever for the day, for the rest of the journey. We don't believe it's too far off now, for which we praise you. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus.